Two readings this morning. The first, we begin with William Ellery Channing. As I said in the opening, in the chalice lighting, we are trying to run up these bold proclamations against Unitarian Universalist theology and claims. And so it seems good to go right back to one of our primary original sources of Unitarianism, the minister William Ellery Channing, whose sermon, Likeness to God, that I'm going to offer these words from, he offered in 1828. Whence do we derive our knowledge of the attributes and perfections which constitute the Supreme Being? We derive them from our own souls. The idea of God, sublime and awful as it is the idea of our own spiritual nature, purified and enlarged to infinity. God is another name for human intelligence, raised above all error and imperfection. We see God around us because he dwells within us.
Taking from a similar vein, the writer Kaelin Hott, in her piece, God Says Yes to Me, writes, I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. And she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can just do exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Don't know where she picked that up. What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, I got into a fight with a stranger on Facebook. It's not my usual thing, I swear. It's never worth it, I know, but the post, it crossed a line. It wasn't just wrong, it was like offensive. It wasn't just actually offensive, it was what I would call life-threatening. A friend from high school posted a video with the title, Pediatrician Shuts Down Leftists on Puberty Blockers. The pediatrician, it turns out, the president of the American College of Pediatricians, which, it sounds official, right? But in case you aren't aware, it is actually a small group of doctors who left the mainstream American Academy of Pediatricians because they didn't agree with their decision when they came out with it a few years ago that gay parents were not a health risk to their adopted children. American College of Pediatricians, just be on the lookout. So in the video, this expert describes how boys are boys and girls are girls. It's determined by biology because science. She shows a lot of science-y videos that prove that doing anything to mess with that biology, especially with children or youth who identify as transgender, was equivalent to child abuse and or mutilation. This is the sort of video that contributes to the high suicide rate for trans people, you know. I know you care about people and science, she's a nurse now, but this isn't caring or science. I even included some helpful links to some Scientific American articles. She never responded. What I got instead was random other guy. You know him. His post was basically, this is a pediatrician doing science. What's not science about it? The articles you shared seem pretty convenient. I was like, so Scientific American is not science anymore? I wish I could say I let it go at this point. This is not a trend or some other random desire for so-called progress, I typed, unless you mean progress in our compassion. And then I took it up a notch. You seem to be confusing gender and sex. Sex is biological. It is about parts and chromosomes. But even there, the existence of intersex people disproves the idea of a strict gender binary. But gender is about the combination of our relationship with our body, along with our identity, that's our internal experience, and also our expression, like how we present ourselves. So then those three things, body, identity, expression, those together are our gender. And each of them have all sorts of variations and combinations in people, whether or not you want them to. Having particular biological sex parts really has no automatic predictor in terms of a person's gender identity. There's trends, of course, but even there, there's a lot of diversity. I had a lot to say, it turns out, as did he. He acknowledged that gay people he was fine with, they could even get married, according to him, but that this that I was describing was simply nonsense, non-factual, non-rational. The argument, it went on for a week or so, which in Facebook terms is like 10 years. It was never too rough, but also neither of us, I know you're shocked, converted the other. Eventually, I just stopped. But I have thought a lot about the exchange since then, mostly because it made me realize how much I have forgotten. I forgot how deeply entrenched ideas about gender are, how pervasively they impact our world, how we see ourselves and others, and how everything fits together. And how unconscious these ideas can really be. How hard it is to even begin to undo those ideas. I forgot that other people, that is most other people, have not had years of dialogue and education, workshops, movies on gender, college and graduate school classes, let alone personal relationships with people all across the gender spectrum. I forgot that most people have not known children and teenagers personally, who have struggled with their gender, and whose only path away from suicide was to come out and find acceptance, including parents and doctors willing to help them align their bodies with their inner realities. I forgot how obvious it can seem that boys are boys and girls are girls, and that anything else would seem like nonsense. And most of all, I forgot that back when I knew that friend from high school, I might have totally agreed with that random other guy. See, I grew up in a small town in a remote corner of Washington State. I grew up Catholic, surrounded by loggers, mill workers and fishermen with very strong ideas about gender and gender norms. And in my small town every year, starting from when I was 13, my town hosted a big conference for what I understood then as cross-dressing men. Now I realize it actually was much more broadly for people who had been assigned male at birth and yet were in some way or another gender transgressive, including cross-dressers, but also drag queens, trans women, everything in beyond or in between each of those. There were workshops around fashion and makeup and also some support groups. We always knew that it was coming because the local paper would run a front page story on it. It was held at the restaurant and the hotel that was owned by one of my parents' good friends, which is also the restaurant where I waited tables through high school and college. Sometimes for date nights, my parents would go with their friends to dinner there during the conference, just with the hopes of spotting a glimpse of people attending. It was basically the thing to do in my whole town each time this conference came to town. And they were strange and fascinating. Why did they do it? What did it mean? Did they want to be women? Did their wives know? We did not lack compassion, my town. Not really. They were welcomed back each year, and they actually are still coming, even now. We weren't cruel, not overtly, but we were confused, which is actually an entirely appropriate place to be most of the time when it comes to gender, because gender is confusing. Gender norms and expectations, they attempt to stabilize and make rational and predictable what is in reality most often fluid, complex, highly personal, and often, yes, strange. We apply and enforce these boxes and categories to try and stabilize these things. Like activist and comedian and TED Talk presenter Sam Killerman describes, we're taught that boys are aggressive, impetuous, good at math, love the color blue. They get dirty, rough house, play sports, not house. Boys can grow up and be whatever they want. There is no bar too high or goal too far away, unless they want to be a nurse, because that's just gay. Girls are passive, docile, natural caretakers, love the color pink, born to be good bakers. They hate bugs, love hugs, are better at vacuuming rugs. Girls grow up to be moms, leave the other jobs to dads, unless they want to be a teacher, a nurse, a receptionist, or a clerk. Two options to describe every person in this world. 7 billion individual identities simplified into two. Say that gender is like the original polarizing force. Not only do we learn these categories and assumptions, we become recruited into the enforcement squad, usually without our explicit consent or even total awareness. For example, my almost 13-year-old daughter, she's really into makeup and babies. She loves babies. And a couple of years ago, she told us she was also really into soccer, too. And we were like, huh, there's no makeup there, you know? So we signed her up, but we were pretty sure she'd hate us, hate it. But she proved us wrong at every turn. It turns out she is really into soccer, especially the part where she can aggressively steal the ball from the other players and then kick it all the way down to the other side of the field. It is absurd that it would have come as a surprise to Carrie and I that a person could both love makeup and want to destroy their opponent. After all I know, all I live, that gender binary should be obliterated in my mind. Except that the whole time, my whole life, there's also been this other campaign directed at me and at all of us all the time, this campaign to keep hardening the categories, keep the separation, widen the divide, advertising, literature, movies, messages from church and my family, doctors, therapists, from school, children can be the most serious in their gender policing. Questions from friends or strangers, helpful advice in parenting books and from fellow parents. It is like the water we swim in. So that today, even as the theory and the personal stories around gender as a spectrum have exploded into the mainstream, that default of the old image, it just will not go away, boys, girls. So suddenly I become like a frontline recruit to the gender binary police force. And we all do. And this is where we come to God. Because God works the same way, or rather, I mean, images of God work the same way. 45 years ago, Mary Daly, in her groundbreaking book, Beyond God the Father, described how the biblical and popular images of God as a great patriarch in heaven, rewarding and punishing according to his mysterious and seemingly arbitrary will, has dominated the imagination of millions over thousands of years. It is the water we swim in. Daly goes on in her book to describe the life-destroying consequences of this default image of God the Father. In 1997, Bill Jones picked up similar themes in his book, Is God a White Racist? But rather around the violent consequences of having imaged God as white, another underexplored default. How we image God has huge consequences for all of us. We, as in our society, our culture, and also we, as in our Unitarian Universalist faith, and we in this congregation, and also we, as in us individually, personally, as in those subconscious, implicit, default images that come to mind without even thinking about it. And by God, I mean the ultimate, the infinite, the big everything, past, present, future, noun and verb. The big connecting force that we couldn't possibly even have words for. This is theology, literally God talk, to put words on things that there aren't words for, to attempt to understand something that is by definition impossible to understand. How we image God has huge consequences, even for those of us who trend more atheistic, for two major reasons. First, because just like with gender, our subconscious images dictate our thinking and our choices more often than we realize. So that when things fall apart in our own lives, or when the world around us feels impossibly broken and heart-wrenching, that is when we go asking questions, the big questions of why, and what now, and what's my part in this? And what hope or help is there now? We can end up inadvertently relying on an outdated, oppressive, and worst of all, empty image of God. That is, empty, unhelpful notions of ultimate meaning and purpose. And in these times, we all need help that actually feels to us helpful, tools that actually equip us to keep moving forward and keep living. And secondly, it matters to those of us who trend more atheistic, because none of us can escape these waters that we swim in. We who live in the U.S. in 2018, whether we choose to engage in the conversation or not, let alone whether we even believe in these notions or of God, we all live with the emotional, social, and legal fallout of how God is being imagined and languaged today. All of us. Which is why I've always been an advocate for atheists becoming the most fluent in God talk. And for all of us to think of God talk as the ultimate humanist project. Because despite the sometimes needy portrayals of God in the Hebrew Bible, God talk is not actually for God. God, whatever God is, doesn't need our God talk. God talk is for, and I'd even say, mostly really about humans. This is, in many ways, what William Ellery Channing, the sometimes noted father of Unitarianism, see the water we all swim in, This is what he was kind of after in his sermon, Likeness to God. It was the early 19th century in New England, and Calvinism was all the rage. Humans were worthless worms, incapable of change. Goodness was only in God, only humans bad, God good. By God's grace, some humans were saved. But that had nothing to do with human effort or human choice. Remember, humans are uniformly, eternally wicked. So Channing, from his pulpit in 1828, was like, that is ridiculous. It's just like the 8,500 word version of that. There was no other media at the time, remember. His argument was primarily an epistemological one, as in, how do we know what we know? As in, how do we know what we know about God? And how do we know what we say we know about humans? Channing basically drew a line from one to the other, God to humans, and said, as in the reading, whence do we derive our knowledge of the attributes and perfections which constitute the supreme being? We derive them from our own souls. God, human, he's saying, we know about God because of what we know in ourselves. Which means we cannot describe God as good without it being a reflection of goodness in ourselves. If we claim God to be good, we must also affirm ourselves as good. Now, Channing's preaching led to the official start of Unitarianism, but he was not the first in our tradition to critique traditional theological claims. We trace our story through the great many individuals and communities who have historically, as Rebecca Parker describes, dissented from notions of God as a controlling and wrathful deity who demands obedience, and those who let go of dogmas that didn't make rational sense and critiqued views of God that sanction unjust social arrangements, such as the old, that paternalistic old white man in the clouds who just reinforces white male dominance. In place of these life-demeaning images and ideas, our religious tradition has attempted to offer alternatives, ones that seek to offer what the Gospel of John describes as the whole point, which is abundant life for all. Which is why the first time I heard the saying, God is trans, I reacted with a mix of both delight and disappointment. God is transgender, the image actually said, with a graphic not too different than the what's on the front of your order of service, plus all the other symbols from that symbolize the different genders. And at the bottom of the image, so God is transgender, the different gender symbols. And at the bottom in small print, it said, United Church of Christ, God is still speaking. Delight and disappointment. Mostly delight. Disappointment because why didn't we come up with that? I mean, I know why. We take ourselves out of the conversation all the time. We are so afraid to do such direct God talk in public in case we'd fail to convey our atheist welcome. But the conversation goes on. This humanist conversation goes on with consequences play out with human. It goes on without us. But mostly delight. God is transgender. Yes! It's such a fabulous Unitarian Universalist notion for God to be affirmed as something that everyone wants to nail down and categorize, but actually cannot be categorized, to say that no, God is actually infinitely complex, transgressive, and often confusing and even troubling, sometimes on purpose. For God to be that which refuses polarization or overgeneralization, for the divine image to be centered with the queer and the outcast, to affirm the trans experience as beautiful and holy and sacred as ultimate, especially today, it felt life-affirming and liberating. Because, you know, one of the first things our president did as he took office was to reinstate the transgender military ban and rescind Title IX protections for transgender students in public schools. And one time he said it was a joke, but he said about the vice president, when it comes to people who are trans, or actually any members of the queer community, quote, he wants to hang them all. That the past 3 years have been the deadliest on record for trans people should be no surprise to any of us. To imagine that this is where God is in a time such as this, to boldly proclaim that God is trans, is radical, life-giving, liberating for us all, and even more to allow this image of God as trans to challenge us to keep going in our imaginations around gender and God, to push ourselves, to expand that internal unconscious message for both, to change the water I kept thinking about. Like, this is really the draining the swamp that we need to refuse to be drafted to either the gender or the God norms enforcement squad, but instead to offer with some intention an alternative, life-giving theology that welcomes the fullest possible spectrum of humanity and of divinity, to maintain what Albert Einstein called a holy curiosity. For all that remains mysterious and out of our view, out of our control, it feels liberating, life-saving, and most of all, it feels like who we are. This is our tradition, our story, our faith, our practice, and it is our calling as Unitarian Universalists today to proclaim boldly, joyfully, and with courageous love, and as Unitarian Universalists, God is trans. Amen.